Welcome to episode 50 of the Black Art Podcast with me, Lloyd.
Me, Jake. Woo! 50!
two weeks away from the anniversary, the one-year anniversary of the Black Art Podcast. I'm so hyped. I can't believe it was just like a little pipe dream at the beginning of we should just record our jam sessions and put them out there. If people want to listen, they can. If they don't, we won't get much hurt. And here we are a year later. And we have a following and people listen and we're still doing it, although slightly sporadically at times, but still doing it. That's mainly due to me and my busyness.
You've had a busy few weeks, so we're a little behind the year anniversary, but we're going by episode anyway, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah, that's very, very true. Yeah, like I've my house is on the market, so there's really inappropriate times of the day or like times that we scheduled just to record. And I've got to be out of the house for people to come and view the house. And that's kind of knocked us back a little bit. But alas, we're here. 2 weeks away. How have you been creatively, Jake? I don't want to hear about your personal life. That's for other podcasts.
There's a million podcasts in the world. But they're so intertwined.
Well, let me know all the details then.
No, I've been good. I've been good. Creatively, at the moment, I don't know. It's not necessarily going through the motions. I'm just like putting the caps on a couple of different projects. So it's not the same type of creativity. It is an enforced creativity, but it's still creativity, I guess, but it's mostly, you know, dotting the I's and crossing the T's kind of stuff.
Putting the bookends on the bookshelf sometimes is as important to the creative process as it is as writing the books. Dude. You gotta know when to stop and how to polish them up.
Yeah, it's the toughest part. Even when I've written stuff or worked on stuff that wasn't magic, you know, whether that be fiction or like in the past when I've done videography for like little mini documentaries for old jobs I've had and stuff like that, it's that last hurdle, the last half a mile of the marathon is it's the worst.
Yeah, it always seems to be in every facet, and I'm gonna shamelessly turn it over to me because I only say this because we were literally chatting about this. Me, you, Tyler, Sam, even my work colleagues, Josh and everyone. I finally crossed over 100,000 subscribers on YouTube. I say finally. I never thought it was going to happen. And the final, I think it was the final six subscribers took like 4 hours.
Yeah.
And normally I get like six out, you know, I get six subscribers in no time at all. And then it was like, I got six subscribers to go. You were messaging, hey, preemptive celebrations. Woohoo. And then it dropped down to like, I needed someone unsubscribed. I was like, what the fuck? And then they're like, oh my God. So then went back that I needed six. That was like an hour later and it was death by paper cut. But yeah, it's always the last part of any creative process which feels the longest. Mainly because the exciting stage of the creative process is when you first have those seeds of ideas, I think, right?
Yeah. Well, yeah, I guess it kind of depends on the project because there's certain elements, there's certain other elements that I really enjoy, but the real slog is that last 5%.
Yeah. Yeah, it could be a nightmare. But that being said, anything you can tell us about? I know there's one thing that I said to you. I was like, Jake, I want you to finish this project.
You say that about quite a lot of things.
No. I was very specific about... I mean, I can tell you what it is. I don't think anyone's going to... Because everyone knows about this. We've talked about this on the podcast a lot, this trick.
Oh, Zodihack.
Yes.
Hell yeah, dude. That's super, super close. In a way, it's weird because the last decent percentage of that is... it's stuff that's a little bit out of my hands. I need help with a few different things to do with it. Stuff like even filming certain elements. Like, I need your help with... it's just, yeah, the stuff where I have to finish off it is very, very minimal now.
Amazing. So, could we expect it finished by next week?
Next week?
Or do you just... what do you need help filming? The performances?
So it depends because I'm still... You know, when we first kind of started coming up with putting this out as something, I wasn't too sure what form it would take. And you kind of pushed me and said... A physical book is going to be best. People want that. Mm-hmm. People want to hold it in their hands. They don't just want you talking for 10 minutes with your awful background. And mm-hmm. I was like, yeah, that's fair true. Enough. But I do want to include stuff on there because Well, the effect isn't just an effect. There is the effect, and I love the effect. I love the methods. I love the presentations, but that's where like my love for the little project lies, is in the presentations. And so, the book very quickly deals with how the effect is achieved, and then the rest of it is ideas for presentations, scripting for routines, different weird ways you can accomplish it. If you're not into this style of magic, you can try it this other way. And I mean, I want to include other stuff on the project as well. I want to include little jams and things like that. I've left room for QR codes and stuff, but it's just figuring out what I can feasibly include. And I have a tendency to, I don't know what the correct word is, but the way people say under promise and over deliver. I feel like I do it the other way around.
Overpromise
Sometimes,
and underdeliver. Well, I think it goes back to what you were first saying, which is you need to some at some point put a cap. I think what you should do is cap it off, put it out there, give people a place where they can discuss it, and that you can update them. I mean, when people purchase it from you, then there should be like a Facebook group or somewhere where they can go, even like a Discord server, or even to the free members on your Patreon could possibly discuss it, whatever. And then you can update people with any updates you put out. But I think you run into the you currently are running into the like the feature creep area, where you're just trying to add so much to it because it's beautiful, it's an amazing piece of magic. For anyone who doesn't know, it's basically a way that you can get someone's star sign in a really logical sense within a few seconds of meeting them, and they have no idea that you could know it. Just because I think people, somebody might be a new listener. I don't know if you've noticed, we've had loads of new listeners the past few weeks coming in.
Yeah, dude, it's been cool. They've been coming from all over the place. I know there's been people, because I've had messages about it. We've had emails as well. People have just stumbled across some of the older episodes that are on YouTube, on your channel, or just from your channel. They've searched your name and found it. It was very weird to find that there was a couple of people who'd stumbled across the podcast because they knew me, which I would never think would be the case. I always assumed it'd just be your offshoots of like people who like are fans of your stuff. But that was really cool. There's a load of different avenues people have found it now. Even people who had maybe never heard of either of our stuff that we've spoken to at conventions have messaged and said just because they had a chat at a convention, they've started listening.
Yeah, it's amazing. So welcome to all of our new listeners. If you are a new listener, if this is your very first episode, we tend to generally jump straight into creating a new trick or attempting. We end up creating a new trick almost every episode. We don't sort of set ourselves a target to do so, but we end up just getting there. We don't like talk generally too much chit chat about our personal lives. We just like to get into the nitty gritty of it. I think we just kind of got to this project discussion organically from talking about how to end how to be creative with the crossing the I's and dotting the T's of the project, or anything that you make. So with that being said, we should probably get on to talk about something creatively about what we can work on. I don't know if you have any pre-lined up topics,
Well,
I have some interesting things I could discuss. Okay, it sounds like you're good to go.
no. I mean, when I say well, it's usually me setting up a sentence that I'm coming up with the millisecond before it comes out my mouth. I was originally just going to say, well, what has had your attention lately? Is there any little, when you pursue a project and it's like you get super into it and that's all you're thinking about? But there are certain things where it's just like, oh, that's cool. I'll do something with that at some point. Like a little earlier today, I was playing around with Ash on a playing card, and I was like, that's cool. I'll think of something to do with that later. Is there any little things like that that has struck your attention lately?
You could totally do a trick where you force Ash from Pokemon, and then you put him in the silhouette of Ash, cigarette Ash on a card. Do you know what? Actually, there is linking cards. I love the linking card plot. Ben, the two best linking card plots I've ever seen, because he's a genius. He's got one called One Card Link, and he got another one called he's just released it. I'm remiss to remember the name, but it's a brand new download. It's like download of the week everywhere.
Yeah, is it double link or something along
Double
those
some
lines?
Yeah, I'm not gonna go and search it because I'll end up just checking my YouTube stats like a loser. But anyway, Ben Williams, Linkin Park download, it's brand new, it's amazing. And it makes me think, I was thinking, right, I need to obviously every week I try and do a new tutorial on my YouTube channel, and I was thinking, what plots haven't I touched that are visually striking? So a lot of times I talk about this whole magpie effect, which is I will just take two objects or three objects that look visually interesting when placed together, and I'll try to create a tutorial based around that. Oftentimes it could just be a playing card and a Sharpie or something else, but just I think about like what the thumbnail might look like, and I'll try and create from there. I was like, what would look cool on a thumbnail? I want to make like, a fairly like a little like extra special video because I've crossed over that 100K mark. I
Oh,
was like, oh,
yeah.
do you know what? I haven't really messed with linking cards. I mean, I tend to stay away from the plot entirely because Ben has completed it for
Yeah.
all intents and purposes. He essentially has the method to obviously magic is very real. It's another topic, but magic doesn't exist to the extent where you can actually link cards. But the closest you can get to creating pre-linked cards is Ben's that I've ever learned so far.
Yeah.
So I was like, well, what could I do to do a linking card trick that isn't Ben's, you know? And I would like to stay away from there's a hundred other people have put out linking card tricks where you use an extra corner of a card on top. And if you're not familiar with the linking card plot, it's basically take two playing cards, tear the centers out so there's two frames, basically there's just two circles of cards, like two donuts, and link them together. So I was thinking, well, would I want to do two linking cards? I kind of like the visual, like just the aesthetic of that, like snapshot of two linked cards. But then I was like, well, could I tear the center out of a bill and link the bill? Could I tear the center out of a box and somehow link a card to the box? Could it be something? Could I just link? I mean, linking rubber bands is really easy with super glue. People don't realize how simple it is. I can link a rubber band, but then that's very, very obvious in a sense. So
Right.
I don't know, Jake. Throw some ideas at me, you little creative beast.
So whenever I've explored the plot in the past, the usual methods that I end up coming up with are along the lines of an extra piece, maybe like an extra kind of L-shaped frame piece. And that falls into that danger zone of, okay, it looks like they're connected, but it can't be handed out. Which is just in the very nature of the effect, that's kind of what has to happen a lot of the time. Don't get me wrong, there are certain Lincoln rings, like you mentioned, where they're kind of pre-linked so that they can be handed out. But I don't necessarily mind them just looking like they're linked, as long as they really genuinely do look like they're linked. So it depends, though. It depends what the nature of the actual effect is, because if you're just boiling it down to these two rings that I've made out of cards are now linked, and that's what the effect is, then yes, it would have to stay that way. But if there is other things involved with it, if there is, whether that is the story that you're telling or the nature of, whatever the effect is, you can kind of get away with maybe they don't stay linked, and there's a reason for that. The last time I played with it, what I did was I used three of the frames that you would make by cutting out the center of a card, and one of them was hidden, and both of them are folded over so that when you hold them like this, it looks like they are a single frame.
Oh, okay, like the Paul Harris one.
I don't know if it's a Paul Harris one. If it is, I do apologize.
It's called not Las Vegas Link. It's an incredible. Adam Wilbur performs it better than anybody else in the world. You take three playing card frames, and you link one onto the other two, and the method is essentially, the fold of two looks like one.
Got you,
What's
got you.
cool? Oh, he does it all the time, and it looks immaculate connection. I was gonna say it looks immaculate. It is immaculate. Copperfield does it on TV as well.
All right.
I was thinking along the lines of using, Blake Voigt's regeneration gimmick.
Yes.
So it's a I can't expose it, but essentially you can take a playing card, tear the corner off, eat the corner or whatever way you do and restore it. And essentially, I mean, it's been like 12 years and every magician has bought regen, but essentially, like there's two corners. So one's already there and you tear the one off. So you're left with a corner on it anyway. I wonder if you could do something like where you have a frame of a card and another frame of a card, and then you have an extra corner piece on there, right? So it looks pre-linked. So basically you pre-link it, but it's actually from one, if you turned it one way around, it would be unlinked. But when you turn it, it's got that corner over it, but it's actually like stuck on. And then you do like a regen thing where you fold the corner back, tear off to rip it out for free, eat the torn corner, and then restore the missing corner where you tore it from in some, you know what I mean? Because that way kind of makes that way it gives an extra element to, because a lot of times like these torn these unlink and unlink cards, you have to tear the card and it stays torn, the one of the frames, and then it doesn't. But if you get like a really clever, clear visual restore and it seems tangible, like they can feel where it's torn and then it's really back together and it can be signed, then it adds another element to the magic, possibly.
I think you're right. I think it just gives you more room to play with as well, in terms of like what the routine actually looks like, how you go through those steps. The what you were speaking about a little bit earlier kind of interested me as well, as moving it away from the cards. Although I know that's sacrilege to you
I don't think
sometimes.
it's sacrilege at all. I think, you know, it'd be cool if you thought of two objects that, like, what if it was a photograph of two finger rings up close, and then you tear the center out of the, well, I mean, what are objects of a natural, maybe it looks like, you know, the links off a chain or like an anchor, even a boat anchor. Maybe it's a photo of two of those. Old rusted ones, you know, it's an old Polaroid. And then you tear the center out and then you link them. So it kind of makes sense to the object of why they're linking. Because linking playing cards are cool, but A, it's playing cards. And B, I mean, there's no reason for a lot of magic. Why does a card come to the top? Why do we, you know, why does it turn face up? But it'd be cool to make a reason. I always say, like, one of my favorite ever tricks is Delgado Delgado's ship in bottle. He takes an origami ship made from the label of the bottle and puts it inside the bottle, and it looks like a, everything makes perfect sense. It's a perfect piece of magic in my eyes, you know, the reasoning. So what objects could you take that would make sense or look like they desire to be linked together, and link them?
So anything that is like flat, like you said, a photograph or a dollar bill or anything like that, we know that there are ways you can cut that kind of like origami ways so that a ring will naturally occur. A linking ring will occur in them so they can easily just utilize switches and stuff like that. But what would be interesting as a visual. So there's a couple of different ways you could go with it. So it's either the super, super slow way, which I know you absolutely love, or you know, that kind of flashy, like in the air kind of link, which I've played with some fun effects like that myself. There's only really one kind of method for doing it, which everyone, all the releases seem to involve that one method of how these two like rings will connect in the air.
What if it was, sorry, just to interrupt.
No.
What if it wasn't necessarily, and I'm just thinking of things that look interesting. What if it wasn't necessarily rings, but it was more like, I'm going to need probably cut this card. I have these scissors, and I've cut double stick tape with them so much, and the residue stuck on it that they always like stick together. But okay, everyone listening to this podcast, because this might be uploaded to Jake's YouTube channel, and if you are listening to the podcast, Jake, tell them what your YouTube channel link is so they can come and see what we're doing right now.
Oh, that would involve me remembering what my YouTube channel link is.
Oh,
I
you
think it's
lunatic.
youtube.com/JakeKeenMagic.
Yeah,
But
just
let me
search that.
double check. If
You've
you
posted a
just
bunch of live streams of the last few days, so it'll sh they'll recognize it by the live stream. But what I'm doing is I'm cutting a playing card so that it's not a hole in the center, but there's a hole with one connecting line going through. You know what I mean? So I could put a finger in either side of the hole, if that makes sense. And it'd be interesting to link something onto that centerpiece, almost like one of those puzzles in a way. You know, have you seen that wooden block that has a nail going through it and it's cut out in a certain way that the nail could never have been put through? And it turns out the way it's made is by soaking the block in water and bending the wood. And then when it dries, it'll bend back. I don't know.
Yes.
So you could take another playing card and link it onto the center of the center piece of the card. Even though it essentially, again, it is just a linking card, but it just looks interesting. And if this was safe, and the reason I was thinking of this, I was thinking of a bird in a cage. So if this was a photograph of a cage, or like a bars on a zoo cage, right? And maybe you have it cut out, so there's, you know, the bars are literally, or you know, there are holes where there should be, and then you take an animal, and that animal is supposed to be, you know, a photo of an animal, and somehow you link it on, or I don't know, but just something interesting to look at that would kind of make a bit of sense to this, to the like, add some story to this, to the trick.
So like it just in terms of, real life or everyday life or just visually being recognizable, what other things link, what naturally links? Like you said, there's
You
the
know, this would be a cool trick. I don't know how it would work, but just playing with it. Like, imagine I've fed this card between the middle bar and the outer bars, and then like if I wave and it just popped through the center, you know?
That's one of those ones where it feels like that should be an existing trick, or it feels like you've seen it before, doesn't it?
Yeah, it feels like I should just be able to go out, melt it through
Huh.
like that. Gotta be. I mean, it's easy to make a trick like that. I don't want to use flaps though. I wonder if I just do this like the most basic pitch way possible and just. Okay, ready, Jake?
I'm ready.
It's linked on.
Wow.
I've just cut, literally cut it off. Kind of works.
That works beautifully for audio.
It's called the Black Art Podcast because, like, you're seeing in the dark.
Just imagine how good the trick looks, people.
Imagine how good it looks, and then imagine how bad it is when I'm trying to do it right now with old cards. Anyway,
So,
so linking cards has been something in my head for a while.
I've been thinking about linking things a decent amount recently, just because I'm currently working on a ring flight kind of routine, that would potentially be
Love
a
ring
little
flights.
bit different to some of the other ones that I've seen. I think the original kind of seeds of it was watching the ring flight that you put up with the Coke can, the Cantab thing.
Oh, do you know that's one of the that tutorial did really well for me, and that's one of the first tricks that I've sat down that I in a long, long time where I sat down and wrote out the ideas. Where could the ring? I wrote down ring flight, like I think I wrote like my way or what I would actually like to do or something. I don't know, something like that. And I just wrote where could the ring link? Could it link to the zip on your zipper? Could it link? I've actually got the list somewhere. I can tell you, but yeah, it was one of the first times in ages I sat down and consent and took the time to think. Let me see.
So I've been going through a bunch of different options for the reveal at the end, but I've got a kind of, well, the initial disappearance that I'm fairly happy with at this moment. Like, I'm fairly happy with what the
Ooh.
visual looks like.
Okay, I need to see this.
Well, I don't have
Or
it.
be
So
or have it explained.
I don't have, I can explain it. I can kind of explain it to you. So the ring is taken just like normal, and the story that goes along with it is more to do with what the ring is made out of. And it's like alchemy, it's gold and silver, and it's about that material being taken and transformed or transmogrified, transmuted. So the visual that I've been playing with is quite cool because the ring will be you're holding the ring in your fingers and it's like you're pushing it into your skin. And
Ooh,
then
into your, it's so for everyone else to can't hear. So it's like you're pushing it with your right hand fingertips into the palm of your left hand.
Yeah, and it disappears, and then when you move your fingers away, there's like a circle indentation in your palm, as
Love
if it's
that.
been pushed into your skin. In play, in practice, it looks quite cool because the I mean the method is just, traditional, any kind of pull. But that, like, because this is here right after, it looks interesting. And the only way,
Yeah.
the way that I've been getting the imprint is literally just a 5 pence coin, like 30 seconds before I disappear in my pocket, just pushing it into my palm, and it stays there for about 3 minutes.
Wow. Wow. Have you ever seen Blood Link by Justin Miller?
I don't think so.
It's ironically, it combines both of these things. Oh well, it takes rings and linking stuff. And what he does, he openly pushes like a red blister ring mark. He takes the ring and he pushes it into the palm of his hand so everyone can see the blister it leaves.
Yeah.
And then he pushes another one lower down on his hand, if I'm remembering correctly. Yeah. And then what he does is he like waves his hand or like closes his fist, opens it back up, and now the two circular blood marks are linked on his palm.
Oh, that's
It's called
cool.
Blood Link, I think. Yes, super cool. Super, super cool. Different trick to what you're describing. The only similarity is that it leaves that, that blister type thing. But very interesting and super creative. Super, super creative.
Yeah. Well,
I thought when you were saying about sorry.
no, go on.
I thought when you were on about like about what was you saying, like alchemy and stuff, I thought you were gonna like talk about using gallium, a gallium ring
Oh,
and
yeah.
dropping it in water. It's a great trick that was called I'm going to forget the name, but basically the trick was you take a piece of string tied in a loop, like a lace, and a ring, and you drop the ring into a cup of coffee, and you also place the string in there. And when you lift the string up, oh no, it's the other way around. You place the ring on the string, put it into coffee, and pull it up, and the ring is magically unlinked. A super old thing, and the method, and then inside the coffee, eventually the ring, you can fish it out with your finger. And the method was the ring on the string was made of gallium, and there's an
Yeah.
identical one sitting inside the coffee cup.
Yeah. I think we brought it up once when we were talking about the with a knot in a necklace would change into a ring.
Yes, that could be it. My favorite ring flight in terms of like just a really interesting take is I want to say it's Bill Perkins. For some reason, I'm getting Cody Nottingham in my head, but I think it's Bill Perkins. He had this great version of Ring Flight, right? Where he had his headphones when Apple made connected headphones, wired headphones, plugged into his phone, and then he wraps them around his phone like you normally used to back then, right? You'd wrap them around like 10 times, and he kept his phone in his back pocket. So you'd borrow a finger ring, make it vanish, you'd pull your phone out, and the ring would be linked onto the wrapped cord. The headphones, but and the method was clever method, totally worked, very very practical. But the visual of it, like the aesthetic of it, was just gorgeous. It just looked really cool to bring that phone out, and it kind of reminds me of like a coin in wool in a ball of yarn. That image of it, just like how did it get on there? And another interesting one from Ring Flight, while we're on the subject, was Eric. I think it's Eric Ross's. Across his ring flight, and maybe with Dan White. And I love there's one part that I loved basically, which was that you borrowed a ring, and it was just the vanish sequence, but you cleaned the ring with the bottom of your t-shirt. So you're like, oh, there's a smudge on it. And that was used, but as what I liked about that was that like it was an organic thing to do, but it was the point of exploitation to make the ring vanish.
Yeah.
Because so often, like a lot of magic that magicians create. They think in such a linear sense, which is first thing they think of is how do I hold this object like a magician would hold it, and how do I make it vanish from this position, or in a magical way. Whereas organically, not every time, but you would if you pretend, you always see like if you borrow someone's ring, someone will like give it a little rub to get any finger marks off it, and it's like, oh, that's the clever part to exploit the things that people do naturally, in that sense. I love the idea of pushing into your skin and having that visual remainder, that like that little shimmer of a memory blistered into your skin.
Yeah, it's you know what
Yeah.
it is the important part of the trick that I've been struggling with. Because I've practiced that with just normal ring flights. Just, I mean, I still have one of those old wallets where it's like a key wallet, and it's a ring flight from like 20 years ago.
Oh
You know, where
yeah, I
you open the
remember.
wallet and it's hanging down with some keys. So I've been practicing that vanish for a little while. It's just finding the reappearance that suits it, that goes with it. And there's for a little while, I was trying to experiment with some kind of a sleight where it felt like the ring was taken off their finger, but you actually leave it on their finger. I don't know if that's ever going to be possible or if anyone else has ever done anything like that. But I was playing around with it and to middling success, like, you know, like one out of every 30 times I try it, I get it. But I don't know if it's ever going to be something that would be.
What were you like, faux take your, I think, didn't Gareth Thomas do something like this on Teller, on Foolus?
Oh, really?
Something like that. I don't know. I might be mistaken. I've got a
Nothing
trick where you
remembers
make a
that.
coin appear in someone's hand, and it's ballsy.
Yeah, I think you've told me about this one, which.
Yeah, because the ultimate place to make a ring appear would be back on the participant's finger. If you could do that, you are God. I was looking at your pierced ears. You know, you've got that hoop in your ear, that hole. It'd
Oh,
be cool if
yeah.
you split your earlobe, put two little magnets in either side so you could connect it onto a.
I've had friends where that's happened to them by accident.
Really?
Yeah. Stretched their ear too quick and it's just popped.
Oh. Where's a cool place to make the ring appear?
So when I was playing around with it, I was thinking to myself, don't leave yourself that, like, don't stay in one lane because you're so focused on that being the vanish. Because if that's the vanish, I'm trying to fit that theme, I'm trying to fit that angle. It's like alchemy and like weird, I don't know, energy consumption. And so I was staying too far. Well, I was staying too close to that. And I did want to keep it wide open because if I can think of a good reveal, then I can always change the opening. It doesn't matter too much. It's just that I'm very attached to that.
I mean, like depending on where you can going. You could go forward or in reverse, right? So you could work, for example, they this could be quite cool. You know how you can get sugar cubes? Imagine you could manufacture, which probably wouldn't be too difficult, sugar rings. So the idea is that you it would be in a sugar packet and it would be used as a faux ring.
Yeah.
And maybe you get you can get dissolvable paper, water dissolved in water. So you get maybe you make these things, right? It's a sugar packet that's made of dissolvable paper, and there's a sugar ring inside it. So you borrow someone's finger ring and you pretend to place it in there. You say, look, hold on to this. You can feel the ring inside. Keep a tight grip on it. And now you could grab a handful of other sugar packets, right? Load the ring into one of them, like a brown sugar packet. So it's a different. They can see the colors different. I don't know. Or actually, I have a really cool. Oh man, this is a fucking sick idea. Oh, okay. So you give someone a coffee stirrer, and you say, "Well, you take that coffee stirrer behind your back and hold on to it with the other hand." Right. So they're holding onto this coffee stirrer with two hands. Now they take the finger ring is inside the sugar packet. You drop that into a coffee,
Yeah.
stir it, and everything vanishes. Everything's gone. And now. You have them turn around, and the ring is linked on the coffee stirrer between their two hands. So, simply put, you could just false transfer the ring into one hand, pick up a coffee stirrer and load it on, hold the coffee stirrer in the center with the ring over it, and just say, place your hand in the back, hold on to the coffee stirrer, don't move, I want to show you something. And now you come back to the fingering over here that they believe is there. More convincing if you've got it in like a duplicate object with a duplicate sugar ring or something,
Yeah.
like a ring under a handkerchief that they can feel. Now they're not going to be shaking their hands behind their back. That when that appeared, I don't know, something like that could be fun.
That could be really
But
fun.
the object or the method of that you use to vanish or the thing that you use to make it appear can be used then to make it vanish. So it makes sense the story. So if you could do it with a coffee stirrer, you use something related to coffee
Yeah,
to
yeah.
make it vanish, but the sugar or, you know what I mean?
Yeah. With you mentioning sugar as well, there was a kind of original idea that I was pursuing. I just haven't experimented too much with it yet, but I think it could work. So With the type of magic that I'm into, very often I will fall back on, if I'm kind of jazzing in the moment and I need a faux method or a faux explanation for what's happening, there's the ritual kind of aspect of things where it is something has to happen. I have to have something that justifies what is going on. And I carry with me this a little jar that's got Epsom salt in it. And it's dead sea salt, and it smells of lavender. It's literally just bath salts, but it looks nice. They're super crystallized, and you can talk about the being dead sea salt, and it's like
And then you get them to sniff the bath salts, they hallucinate, and you tell them you can
they
fly.
chew the face off someone underneath an LA freeway. But what I was playing around with them is when you have it in a container, like bath salts, like dead sea salt. If you have normal salt on top, right, it stays there until you shake it and then it goes down into it. And so if you had like a ring in the normal salt, if you shake it, it looks like it's rising up as opposed to it, does that make sense?
Yeah, I put out a trick like this using coffee and sugar, coffee beans and sugar, called Sweet Columbia, I think. It's actually, you'll find it on the Murphy's YouTube from my Odyssey DVD. You show a cup full of sugar, you shake it, and the sugar visually turns into coffee beans in slow motion. And it works on the old salt and pepper principle that one great granule is. The pepper granules are bigger than the salt. When you put a layer of, and it comes from using a comb to separate them, but I realized you could do it with in a cup. So you have a layer of coffee beans, you finely powder, or you powder the sugar on top, and all you have to do is swirl the cup and the sugar sinks. And because it's white, if you use a white porcelain cup, it also like is hidden a lot more, and the coffee beans just appear from nowhere. So I understand the concept, what I'm saying. Sorry.
Oh no, sorry, I didn't realize I haven't seen that one before. Sorry, dude.
Oh no, don't apologize. I'm just saying I understand the concept because I've played with
Yeah,
it.
so that's what I've been playing with, and that's what I was originally kind of going for, and then I started thinking about it still somehow being on their hand, but I've been playing with these bath salts way too much.
Whoa, that's cool, man. That's really cool. If you could get it to visually appear in like a small tube that they've been holding, that's next level. That's really, really interesting. And then from there, you can think, well, why am I introducing bath salts? What is the ritual? What's the history of it? Or what are you going to say is the story behind it? And depending on what that story is, it would be, when pharaohs were buried, they were buried with all of their earthly possessions, and they were also buried with all of their servants too. So they would place their jewelry into this type of thing, and you give them a box to make it vanish. Or you'd say they were buried with their jewelry on the necklace, so I'm going to take your ring, link it onto my necklace. You can feel the ring through my t-shirt. And then slowly, like that ring melts away because maybe it's just a piece of cardboard that when you press it, it goes flat, something like that underneath the t-shirt. Or maybe you can see it through the t-shirt, but it's actually sponge. So you just press it and it vanishes. And then you say, shake the jar as if you're awakening the pharaoh from the tomb or some shit. And then it appears,
That's sick,
That makes
man.
sense.
The other thing that I was thinking of was just the very nature of salt and stuff, it being sieved away. If the ring was already in your hand or the participant's hand, because it's been placed there in whatever action, and salt is poured on top. For all intents and purposes, it's just the salt that's in their hand or your hand, and then when it's sieved away or shaken away, it's like it's a, almost like it's appeared from the salt, or been drawn out of your skin by the salt.
Or dude, what if you use it in reverse? What if you use it to vanish the coin in someone's hand? This is quite cool, right? If you put a coin that was shimmed or magnetic in the UK, just a penny or 2 pence, in America, get a magnet coin. What if you say they would use the pharaohs or whatever your story is, sailors would believe that salt had, you go to sea. I can't. You do all that stuff, right? But you say, I'm going to place some salt in your hand, and then I'm going to take a penny and place it on the salt and pour more salt over it. And I want you to just cover it with your other hand, like this, right? So, what's happening basically, under your sleeve, maybe you've got a strong magnet. You place a foundation of salt on your hand, then the coin on top of that, and then you pour more salt on top. Now, when you reach across all of that salt on your hand, to get the other hand to guide them over the top of it, it'll steal away that coin. But because of the layer of salt already there, it won't just leave like a empty patch on their hand, right? So basically, you've got this appeal for vanish, but because they got that layer of that salt in their hand, they can't tell the coin's not there,
Yeah.
you know? And now you could say, like, it'd be cool, like, you know, that whole whistle with your hands,
Yeah.
ooh, just blow the close your eyes and blow so you don't get salt in your eyes. And then there's movies like that. But you blow the salt on the coin in your hand, or blow the salt off the coin. They do that, and now the coin's gone, and they make the coin vanish from their own hands. Dude, that could be amazing,
That
like
could be really
legit
cool.
amazing.
Do you think there would be too much dislodged if you literally did just have the coin linked up to the thread and
Have you
push it
got
into it?
a fridge?
Yeah.
Oh, I'd say just test it. Get a magnet. Get some salt and a coin.
What do I need my fridge for?
Get a magnet off the fridge.
Oh, okay. Do I have a
Oh,
magnet on my fridge? I think I, weirdly enough, I think I have The Last of Us magnet on there.
I'm gonna play some elevator music, some Muzak. Do, 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 do. Whilst you're doing that, have you got headphones in, Jake?
No.
What you could do if you secretly put like the magnet inside a salt packet or a couple of salt packets, then you wouldn't even have it on your sleeve. Just organically, as you're getting more salt to pour on their hand, you could steal it away, kind of like a, you know, the gimmick version of what's the trick, the coin matrix with cards. You know what I mean?
Oh,
You could
yeah.
just organically steal it away using the packets of salt that you've already got
Why
from
does
their
this
hand
magnet not
in
work?
live play. Maybe it's the coin.
Which coin's a magnetic again?
Pennies?
Yeah, it doesn't appear to be
Five
working.
pence?
That's
Ten
right,
pence
though.
pieces?
One sec. I've got actual
It doesn't
magnet.
matter. Did you get some salt as well?
I've got my Epsom salt. I'm looking
Oh,
for
that's
the
cool. That's
actual
perfect.
magnets. Once again,
Now, Jake, you're
tantalizing
getting.
audio of me sifting through my drawers
Oh,
looking for my
I'm
magnets.
looking for me magnets.
Imagine
How are the Beatles? That's my terrible
magnets.
Liverpudlian. Imagine all the magnets.
Right,
Oh, I'm gonna. Sorry, I'm
we'll.
embarrassed for me.
Yeah, as you should be. I can't find my magnets. What gimmick would I have
That's
that
all right.
magnets?
Oh, don't worry about it. You can experiment with it later. It's stopping the flow.
Yeah,
It's
that's true. I'll play
preventing the flow.
I'll play with myself later.
Brilliant. Yeah,
I think that's a
that could be a cool presentation, though, right?
yeah. Yeah, I was so focused on trying to get the reappearance that I didn't realize that might be a cooler vanish.
I think I'm always searching for making things appear or vanish in people's hands. I've got multiple methods. I've got ways to make cards vanish in people's hands, coins appear in people's hands, and I've always like tried to think of ways to make a coin vanish from someone's hand, but it was missing that extra one degree, which was employing something that wasn't necessarily specifically another object. There is something intrinsically like mystical about salt and sand, you know, and it's got like it's always carries sort of healing properties, and that, you know, it's got this magic feel to it, this aura to it.
Yeah.
So to use that incorporation with something like this is really cool.
You know what would be a pretty cool and easy gimmick to make is when I carry salt, it's in a tiny little jar. It's kind of like a little mason jar, but it's very, very small with a cork.
Yeah, the cork bottle, yeah.
So if you had an opaque one instead, whether that was just something wrapped around it or whatever, but if the magnet was actually attached to the container. So you're pouring the salt, you put the coin on, and then in the act of pouring the rest of the salt, it's getting attached to the other side of the coin, to the bottle, the bottom side. So it's, so it's super clean.
Oh, mate. That's the answer. That is the answer.
Yeah, and if it's nice and packed
Brilliant.
on the magnet, there's no noise.
Ugh, why didn't I think of that? That is genius. That's brilliant. That'll 100% work. That would 100% work. It's got me thinking, if they're going to blow, if they're going to cup their hands together and blow to make the salt just basically blow away,
Yeah.
you could tell them, now, some of that salt blew out your hands, but some of it, or so you could say beforehand, you're going to blow, some particles of salt will escape, but the rest will vanish along with the coin. It sounds crazy, but do it. One, two, three. And they'll see some salt come out of the air, right? But then the coin will be gone. So that's what convinces them that some of the salt vanished too. Because what you could say, a simple like kicker to it is that, say, like you're going to make it appear on a necklace. You could just have a thumb tip with salt in it, and you could be like, "Watch, it's in the air. Grab your thumb tip off your thumb, pour salt out, and then pretend that you're rubbing the coin through your shirt at the same time. So it looks like the cotton, the salt. You know what I mean? It just kind of
Yeah.
starts to reappear." Or whatever you pull the salt, say, oh, this is gonna be cool actually. Just to keep it simple, say the ring is gonna reappear in an envelope that's been 10 meters on the other side of the bar. Just put some salt in the envelope with it.
Yeah.
Just with it. So when they blow it, it's gone. They go and have a look over there, and they open it, and then there's some of the salt. Like, I didn't. Okay, yeah, the salt. I didn't think it was gonna go with it. You know.
The idea of a thumb tip. I mean, if you just have a ring and salt appear out of nowhere is kind of cool as well. Just if you're like reaching out into the air, and then when you pour it, this salt and a ring comes out, and it's just,
Oh yeah, dude.
and it'd be super easy to be nothing to load from the your little empty container, you know.
Yeah, I'm thinking if you had a ring, and you can do this on the fly, but like if you put some sticky stuff on it, on the base of it, so almost like you stamp their hands. So when the salt goes on, when they blow away, there's like a circle of salt stuck on their hand. And like sometimes, like as it's vanishing, it sort of just stays a bit, or it starts to seep in. And you're like, oh, sorry, let me just wipe that off to you. There we go. Okay, gone. You know, so they just see that end and like, what the hell?
Do you know how you could do it super easy? So if you're using a container to pour the salt, just the rim of the container could have a light little bit of sticky stuff on it. So
Oh,
you
yeah.
initially you place it on their hand, and then you pull her up for it to come out.
Oh wow.
So it's just,
Oh, the whole re yeah. Perfect.
oh, that's so fun. Dude,
Perfect.
I need to find a suitable container to try and test this now.
Yeah, if you can make this work, I think this would be really cool. Really, really cool. Even yeah, because the reappearance is such a clean vanish. The reappearance is secondary then, you know, because it's like it's gonna be very hard to top vanishing a coin in a participant's hand
Yeah, and you know, even like,
or a
well,
ring, sorry.
two spectators, that look so cool because of the word play that you can use. So you know, the salt and the ring are in your hand, and you can feel it in there still. Yeah, but like, oh yeah, that'd feel really, really, really cool to, because you can play around with that aspect of it. You can obviously feel it in your hand. You can feel the weight of it in your hand. Yeah, obviously you can. There's just salt in your hand.
You know what's cool, Jake, as well? If you used a coin with a expanded shell over it, so say you had a silver coin with an expanded copper coin over it, because you are openly like sort of openly keeping a coin in the hand, but it's covered in a natural sense, you could change objects too.
Yeah.
So you could literally talk about something as bold as alchemy, and you could put some salt on their palm. You place a copper coin. You place some more salt on their palm to cover up over the coin whilst you steal the shell away. Now you say, like, drop it into liquid, all the salt will dissolve, and it looks like as the salt, you know, because it's kind of like that misty color, it looks like the salt is turning the copper coin into a silver coin.
It would be cool as well if it was coins, if the coin that's underneath the shell is like their coin that they think is somewhere else or that's signed. So it was a proper transposition. Be pretty cool.
Oh man. What if you took a coin, covered it in super glue on one side and the edge, and then covered it in salt or something that wouldn't melt,
Yeah.
right? So, what I'm thinking is, imagine they had a palm full of salt, and you place the coin on their fingertips. And then you just say, close your hand, open it, and now the coin will be camouflaged in the salt. Because they won't expect it to be, you know, it's just a bit bold, very bold. But if say you say then you had a magnet on your sleeve or somewhere, you just enough time for them to make you go, and they're like, what, where's it gone? And then you say, oh, take your other hand, you steal that away in time for it to go. You know, I don't know, something. But it's quite interesting.
Yeah, you could definitely use some salt art.
Or sand would probably be better. Sand wouldn't melt with super glue.
Yeah, that's true. Oh, they could. Looking at it mechanically and wondering like about the weight differential, but I think you could. There's enough padding there with a layer of salt, maybe.
Possibly.
That could be really cool. Oh, this needs to be tested now.
It
There's
does, doesn't it?
a lot of fun to be had with salt now.
Be so cool to like have like a message in a bottle, a mini bottle, and the ring is on the in the ring is stuck in the bottle, but over the note
Oh,
for whatever
yeah.
reason.
Oh, that'd be probably fairly easy to do just without any gimmicks as well.
Yeah, just slap it on there.
Yeah.
There you go. It's a miracle. You're welcome.
Yeah, that'd be super easy to load. If the scroll's just halfway out of the bottle in the back of your pants or something.
And the cork is in the top of the scroll.
Yeah.
So, or yeah, you have to read it. But you come over, you go boom, and then and it sounds suspicious with your hand down your trousers, but cork it in, done. Sorry, I just have to cork my ring.
God. You know what could be interesting is if you used glue and salt just to make like a salt ring. So it was as if the ring has actually changed into salt when they
Crystallizing.
blow it away. Yeah, like crystallized.
I wonder how easy it is to make a sugar. What's the process for making a sugar cube? It's not just compressed sugar, is it? Is it like any glycerin, which is sugar water, but
I'm not sure.
I bet it's a homemade thing, and I bet you can make your own shapes.
Probably.
You'll get a little mold of a ring.
Yeah, Google will help with that. I'm pretty sure it's. Yeah, I can't imagine it's too complicated.
No, neither can
Because it could be quite interesting and very easy to hide these little salt or sugar versions of things.
because it's a way of doing like the gallium trick without any gallium. Because imagine you're like, okay, I'm going to take your finger ring, I'm going to place it in this sugar packet, okay? And now I'm going to take a thread and I'm going to push it through the ring, through the paper, both sides, and loop it together. So you can see there's a ring on a sugar packet. You can even feel the sugar. You can even feel the ring inside the sugar packet. But I dip this into the drink, pull it up, and now the ring has vanished. And you could just literally just load the ring into the thing. But it would be healthy to an extent. It would be, well, maybe not healthy, but it wouldn't be gallium poisoning style, you know.
Yeah, that's very, very true. And it's one of those things that you could, so long as you've done the little bit of setup beforehand, how strong would that appear just as casual magic in a cafe?
I'm gonna look into how to make a sugar cube because there's so much you could do with sugar rings. And oh mate, if you made other objects like a key, so then you say like I'm gonna borrow your key, you switch it. I'm gonna take some paper like a napkin or yeah, napkin. I'm gonna shine my phone light through underneath so you can see the silhouette of the key. You can feel it through there. But I don't want you to watch it vanish because that's the mystery. Then you just hold it, like as you bring it forward over like your drink, you drop the key in, the sugar key in, that you keep moving towards them, or something, I don't know, or maybe you openly drop it in, right? Whatever. But then it's going to vanish and you can make it reappear. And I wonder if the sugar cube, if it could just be crushed up, if it, right? So if it's a sugar key, imagine you're like, okay, look, I'm going to take your key in my left hand. And I want you to pour some sugar in my right hand, into my fist, right? So that goes straight into a thumb tip. You've got the key palmed. Now you vanish the sugar with a thumb tip and crush the sugar key up so it turns into sugar. You know, so You see what I'm saying? Maybe like you've got, it's like take a key, wrap it in some paper, place it in my hand. You can feel the key at all times. If I shine a light, you can see a silhouette through it, but that's definitely your key. Over here, I have some sugar. One, two, three, the sugar becomes the key. And over here is the sugar.
I really like that, man. I love the idea of like there being evidence of this transportation, this transposition, or not transposition, you know. I love, like you initially said, putting salt in an envelope halfway across the room. Like just that idea of there being evidence that something has happened is so cool.
Yeah, just that, like, it's come along for the ride from the
Yeah, and
ether.
a key that's made out of sugar or salt is quite interesting as well, because there's just something really cool about that. Just like insanely interesting visual as well.
Wonder what else there could be. I don't know. Maybe that's for our listeners to get involved with. Maybe this is the point, because you've got a live stream in half an hour. We've been going for about an hour. Maybe this is the point in which we leave it to everyone else to fill in the blanks,
Ah, yeah,
aka
we
on
get
the
other people
creative
to do
level.
our homework for us.
Get onto the Black Art Facebook page if you want, or email us. Go to theblackartco.com, theblackartco.com, and there you'll find links to message us, to get involved in the Facebook chats, to follow us on certain media platforms. So you can, if you want to subscribe through Apple Music or Spotify, all that good stuff. And now I'm assuming we're going to update it to add Jake's channel if you want to see the video of this podcast. Is that going to happen, Jake? Are you going to do that?
I think it's worthwhile. I think I'm going to backdate a few episodes and start uploading the video back to YouTube again.
I may have been looking disgusting, like out there and some of those. So upload the sexy ones.
I'll upload a best of, don't worry.
They used to be on my YouTube channel, but then it was just too much work for me to do all the time, with so much stuff that I do. But with you have a bit more time than I do, you lucky bugger. So we'll run it through there.
Yeah, I think I'm going to give it a go. I think it'll be worthwhile.
Amazing. Now watch all of this episode. I hate someone to get to the end and be like, really? Now I can watch? Maybe Jake, actually at the beginning, you should record a little, hey guys, if you want to watch this episode.
I will do. I will do. I'll upload a little I don't know what the word is. My brain's half gone. I'll do a little tiny intro.
Cool. Amazing. All right, man. Well, thank you for, it was a tight episode. I had like an hour free. You have like an hour free. My brain's firing now, man, to be honest with you.
Yeah, same. I'm gonna go straight into the live stream after this and decompress over some of these ideas.
Yeah, and Jake, how often you live stream? Is it every day, every other day?
If I did it every day, I
Yeah.
think people would be sick of it. So at the moment, it's like every 2 days, every 3 days.
So go to Jake's YouTube channel and get involved. Did you think it was definitely Jake Keane magic?
No, I don't know what it is.
I'm gonna find out for you because I'm such a top mate.
I'm
It's at Jake underscore Keane. So that's at JAKE underscore KEANE. So youtube.com/ at Jake underscore Keane.
Hell yeah. Thank you, brother. And congrats on 100K. You deserve it.
Dude, 1,000 days sober and 100,000 YouTube subscribers. I don't think there's a coincidence how those timelines match up. Very coincidental. But yeah, super. Thank you for the love, man. Thank you for the support all the way as well. Like all the help you've given me on my channel, all the advice you've given me, all the inspiration for a lot of the tricks on there.
Oh,
Couldn't
thank
have
you.
done it without you and all the boys as well. And on to all our listeners. I know a portion of our listeners have found the Black Art through my channel, and yeah, I'm going to be doing like a proper thanks video on the old tube. But yeah, Matt, I really appreciate all the help you've given me specifically, and you've been a diamond.
Yeah, same to you, man. You know how much you've helped me. Probably wouldn't be here recording this if it wasn't for you, buddy. So thank you very much.
Mate, feelings mutual, man. But yeah, I'm hyped to see how this turns out on your channel as well. I'll come in and watch us.
Cheers, man. You enjoy the rest of your night. I hope it isn't as busy as the past few weeks have been.
Thanks to you. Hey, here's an idea. The next podcast we could possibly do live on your channel if you wanted.
I'm down. Yeah.
It saves a bit of the pro. You still have to export the audio for the streaming platforms, so they get it too. But it would save some of the process. I don't know. Let's just have fun. Follow what the people want.
Yeah, I can't do Zoom to my channel just because any kind of like extra layers between this piece of hardware and YouTube, the encoding just messes up for me. So I've just been doing it on my phone to save myself from OBS headaches.
I think there's a way of doing Zoom through the phone. I don't know. Oh, it's go live together, isn't it? I don't know.
We can do
I
go
don't know.
live together. It's just whether or not the audio will be very good if it's phone only.
True. The quality on your phone is great, though, by the way. It makes such a difference.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely.
All
All
right,
right.
sick. Well, everyone, thank you for tuning in. Did a killer episode.
Yeah,
It
two
feels like it's
more.
a bit different this episode because the last few have been mentalism themed, and it's nice to get back to a bit of visual close-up stuff.
Yeah, dude, I'm always down for more visual shit. I need to get better. I need to get better at making room for that kind of magic as well.
I'm the opposite. I do so much visual stuff. I need to make more room for mentalism. We found a good balance in point here somewhere.
I think
Anyway,
so.
folks, thank you so much for listening. If you've made it this far, I've been Lloyd.
I've been Jake.
Until next episode, which will be episode 51. Maybe we do episode 52 as a joint live for the Blackout podcast. Because it's the annual thing. I don't know. We'll figure out some exciting plans. Guys, you might have some great ideas of what we could do for the celebratory first year anniversary episode for the Blackout podcast. But until next week, folks, we will speak to you all very, very soon. Peace.
Bye.